Thank you for listening to an audio recording from the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative dedicated to preserving America's history through the timeless practice of oral storytelling. To learn more about the Tell Me a Story program, including how you can add your own story to the collection, visit MidwestGenealogyCenter.org/tellmeastory. On behalf of the Midwest Genealogy Center and Mid-Continent Public Library, we hope you enjoy the following story.
This is an interview. Sarah Lee Horn is interviewing her brother, Barclay Dale Hoiser, on September 28th, 2017. Okay, so first question I have is, what is your name?
Barclay Dale Hoiser.
And who are you named after?
Well, my first name is after Mom, because her name was Sarah Barclay McKenzie. I don't know where the Dale comes from, but that was my dad's middle name.
Okay. When and where were you born?
Denver, Colorado, November 23rd, 1950, St. Luke's Hospital.
Hmm. Where did you grow up?
Colorado Springs, Colorado.
I have a question. Where were you baptized?
You know, this is a weird one. You know, everybody else was baptized right after they were born. But I found out a couple years ago, looking at my baptismal certificate, I wasn't baptized for like 5 years because Dad had this thing where he didn't believe in the church, and Grandpa finally broke him to his will, and I was baptized like in 1955 or something, or 54.
Dad didn't believe in the church.
Didn't believe in baptism or anything.
What?
Yep, that's right.
You know that for a fact, or
yes.
Are you just surmising that?
Mom told me that. I said, hey, Mom, I was looking at my baptismal certificate. How come it says 1955, let's say? She said, oh, Dad had a bee in his bonnet and didn't want to do it and didn't think it was a good thing or what.
Did Grandpa baptize you?
Yes.
Yes. Gosh, same for Gordon.
Yeah.
I had like one, am I the only one that got baptized at a church?
You're a female, you don't get the real.
Gordon got baptized in the sink in Clarkson.
Oh, I think I was baptized at the church, although I don't remember that.
Yep.
And it did not say.
Yeah, you don't remember even though you were five.
No, I don't. No.
Okay. Where did you grow up?
Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Do you remember, what was the first house you lived in?
First house we lived in was over there by Monument Park, almost kind of across the street from Van Briggle Pottery.
Yeah.
I had my first kerfuffle with the ducks over there.
Little apartment things or whatever, kind of?
Yes, there was a little kind of a white house that had two or three little,
like little
apartments in it. Yes, bungalow is a good word.
And then you moved to?
Well, I think after that we moved to North Tejon, and I saw my first nun next to the Catholic hospital, and I thought it was a witch, and I was petrified.
There's a story from there that Dad told me, and it was that you got lost. You and your...
Well, no, that's...
Was that when you lived there?
I didn't get lost. I just went out with my dog.
To get ice cream?
Well, we lived on Van Buren, and I went with my dog, Emil, all the way down to the intersection of Nevada Avenue and where it crosses the railroad track, and I was down in the gully down there by the tracks with my dog. I didn't think I was lost.
And Mom had a police alert out.
Yeah, cops saw me down there and took me home. And the guy turned me in from the cookie store because I'd gone in with my dog. I must have been 4 years old. Gone in with my dog on Cascade or Tejon. That's a long way for a little kid.
For that age.
And asked if he had any cookies. And he said he did, but he had to sell them, and apparently he called because there was an APB out for me and my dog.
I know. I never knew this till Dad told me this.
Yeah.
Mom was hysterical, as you can imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. You get that way over the good ones.
What were your parents like?
Really good. I liked them. I always had a good family, good home. Dad worked hard. Mom was funny and put three squares on every day and went to every sporting event. Religious event, cultural event that you could go to.
I got the impression that you and Mom were close when you were growing up. Is that true or no?
Yeah, true. And Clyde was equally close to Dad.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you get into trouble?
No, never.
I believe it. What's the worst thing you did before, let's just say up to high school while you're living with your mom and dad?
I did stupid stuff like with the pinking shears on 1916 North Weber when I had those little zigzaggy lines, but I was only like six. I wouldn't say that was bad.
Yeah.
I got busted for chasing the popsicle truck when I was like five.
You really were good.
I was. I can't remember what I ever really did that was bad.
Do you remember Grandma and Grandpa visiting you?
Uh-huh.
A lot?
Yeah, I remember Grandpa a lot.
Yeah. Was that a positive thing?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It was the best.
Really? Why?
Yeah, let me tell you, when he lived on that farm in Missouri, it was owned by Charlie Grimm, who's a Baseball Hall of Famer, played first base for the Cubs, and Casey Stengel, the manager of the New York Yankees, came by, and it's in the evening, and my grandpa was smoking a cigar with these two guys,
yeah.
And then Casey Stengel came out with a fungo bat to hit fly balls to the boys.
Yeah.
That was a great night.
Because you were visiting Grandma and Grandpa.
And I didn't even know who Casey Stengel and Charlie Grimm were.
Till after.
But I was amazed Grandpa was smoking a cigar.
I heard that the Grimms were members of Grandpa's church in Normandy,
yes,
St. Louis.
I
and
think
that's
so.
How it all, that's how that relationship began.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I know you have siblings. Gordon went through that. if you could, how was it growing up with your brothers?
Great.
You and I are 15 years apart. I was 3 when you left for college.
Wow, really?
What year were you born?
That.
Yeah, 63. 13 years apart.
13, yeah.
So I was 6. Like, I don't really have too many memories of you growing up. Do you, like, even remember? Was I even in your existence?
I remember that we needed, like, 5 to play a basketball game, and so you would be recruited. And that's where you got a lot of your competitive skills.
Mm-hmm.
You learned how to play properly, like a guy. Elbows and aggressive. You played ball that way. You were in track that way.
Yeah.
You know, now I remember that. Seemed that way to me anyway.
What were your siblings like growing up? You can just like tweet something about each one.
Let me see. Chuck was kind of a wild man.
He created friction in the home though, right?
Oh, not for me.
But for
I just thought he was
mom.
A wild man. You know, it's like Dad just had a rule for Chuck, don't light stuff on fire. But, you know, if he had lived in the 50s, he's a guy that would have had a pack of cigarettes rolled up in the sleeve of his T-shirt.
Yeah, he was a rebel.
A rebel, kind of a
but
rebel.
But didn't that irritate Mom and Dad? Probably more Dad than Mom.
Maybe. I don't really recall it. I just don't recall that. I only recall one time when Chuck used bad language downstairs and Dad heard it and came down like the angel of death in Egypt, grabbing up sons by the armful. And handing out general punishments. That's all.
So it wasn't an overriding thing, like, that was always there, a presence, like, oh boy, here we go again.
Not at all.
How are Mom and Dad?
Wait a minute, you want a vignette? David was known as a bleeder.
I do know that.
Whenever he got cut or fell down or the time he hit the shell filled with 50 match heads, he would just bleed up like a crazy man.
Yeah.
So that was, but he was a good basketball player. He batted left-handed, pathetic, in baseball. Chuck, a good basketball player. Gordon is the only guy that didn't like competitive sports. Long walks on foggy beaches. That was his forte.
Did you feel like the 3 older brothers were close and then Gordon and I were separate?
Never felt that.
I didn't feel that, but it would make sense if you did.
I never felt that. Never felt it. We'd sit around, you know, in the living room and on Stacy Cord, and everybody's just sitting around shooting the ball and laughing.
Yeah.
You would bring your dates in, and he'd have to walk in front of 4 brothers and Dad and his boxers with his pyramid on his head.
Did you feel particularly close to any one of the brothers more than anybody else?
Nope.
Did you feel like the king of the family? The king of the siblings?
No, I had the baton of authority in Dad's absence. You may not remember this. He'd line everybody up, and he had his little stick. And he would say, this is the baton of authority. They were going out, and I had to watch him, and he'd hand it to me. And I would hold it up, and they would acknowledge that I had it.
You're making that up.
No, that is true, yeah. The baton of authority.
So you would babysit?
No, I would keep order.
How would you describe yourself as a child?
Fun, athletic, giant reader, kind of experimental, and did stuff like threw a watermelon off the second story of a house. But other than that, I did the same stuff my brothers did. We just played in the backyard, shot hoops, had a swing set. I enjoyed burning the trash on Mondays. You got to do that.
Were you happy?
Absolutely.
What is one of your best memories of your childhood, and what is one of the worst memories?
I heard you ask this to Gordon. Well, the worst memory is easy, when baby Chuck died. Just knocked me for a loop.
Yeah.
Best memory, and this is weird. I was in the first grade. I remember this, and I still think about it a couple times a year. And I was sitting there as a first grader, and I thought, this is the best day of my life. It was like I was in a golden glow all day long. And I used to walk to Redeemer from 1916 North Weber. Everything about today, walking to school was great that day, walking back, my lessons, I walked on a cloud all day long, and I've never recaptured that height of a feeling.
Well, you were young when you went. You were only four when your mom said when you went to, I guess, kindergarten. Did you go to kindergarten?
Yeah, at the Steele School, one block away.
Okay, so you were five when you went to first grade.
Right.
But you could read. You were probably equal to or above the class.
Nope. I didn't learn my first word till the first grade. And my first word, Dick and Jane, look, L-O-O-K. Each letter was about 4 inches high.
Yeah.
But and then it was Katie, bar the door. What's the next word going to be?
Well, I mean, you're a huge reader, and so that you really caught on to that.
Well, you know, if you learn to read early, it's not you learn the vocabulary, but you develop a love for the stories.
Yeah. Do you think you like reading because Mom was a big reader, or you just liked it?
I just liked it.
And you did well, and you learned? And
I just liked the stories.
Yeah. Did you have a nickname?
No.
Who were your best friends growing up, like childhood?
Oh, childhood, maybe Jim Burke, Lee Grotolution, I'm thinking Kent, Rick Maxson, the guys from Redeemer that I would hang with.
Well, I guess you described a perfect day when you were a child. I guess it was that first day of first grade.
It wasn't the first day. No. It was like, you know, I was in the first grade.
A great day in first grade.
And I'm not, boy, well, that was a great day.
It must have made quite an impact on you.
I still think about it, and I'm 67 now in a month.
What did you think when you were a child? What did you think your life would be like? Or what did you want to be when you were older? What did you kind of dream about?
Didn't really want to be anything.
Yeah.
Never thought about what I wanted to be.
You were not like, I want to be a fireman.
Nope.
Or I want to be a,
Didn't care.
Gordon wanted to be a trash man.
It's a good job.
he loved the way they hung off the back of the truck.
That's what I was going to say. That is very cool.
Do you have any favorite stories from your childhood, one or two?
Well, let me see. Favorite stories. Well, there was, you know, I got busted chasing the ice cream truck. Oh, when we lived in a house at the north end of the pond across from Van Briggle, and we lived in Monument Park, and Mom had taught me to feed bread to the ducks out there, and I took the bread one time, must have been four, unattended, went out, the ducks saw somebody approximately their size.
With a bag of bread.
With a bag, and they stomped me into the ground, and I remember the yellow feet over me, and I'm trying to crawl away with the bread in my hands.
Were you crying?
Yes, I was crying. Yeah.
Was Mom regret sending you out there?
Well, you know, I was eye to eye with the ducks when you're four. They're pretty big.
Those beaks are hard, too. Okay, let's see. What do you do for a living?
I'm a lawyer, an attorney.
How did you decide to be a lawyer?
Because I had graduated from Colorado College and had no plans to go to graduate school or go to work. And Dad said, you got to go to work or you got to go to school, but you can't live in the basement. So I found law schools, a law school, that was still taking applications in August for a September start.
Is that really?
That is true. It's Golden Gate University, fully accredited fourth tier, but as their brochure says, conveniently located next to the Greyhound station. And that's where I went. And it was a great 3 years in San Francisco, and I had a great roommate in Jack Krug.
Yeah. Do you like your job?
Yeah, it's a great job.
What lessons has your work life taught you?
That I am the world's biggest procrastinator.
Really?
Oh my God, yes. But it also taught me, I like going to court, because when you go to court, you don't think about all the little stuff that goes on at work all day.
Just what you're doing.
At work, I get pecked to death by chickens.
Yeah.
But when I go to court, I'm just focused on the one thing, and what a relief that is.
And everything else just falls away.
Yep.
That's what people say who mountain climb, and it's like they're just so focused on this, nothing is even in their mind.
Yeah.
Were you always a procrastinator, or is that something more related to your work? You procrastinated other things?
I didn't procrastinate in law school, but I did in undergraduate.
Okay, so you...
I don't procrastinate in taking care of stuff around the house. Maybe because what I do is, after 47 years, is not very intellectually challenging, and it's just boring sometimes.
If you could do anything now, what would you do? If you had, have another profession?
Well, without taking the pay cut, I would have loved to have been an English professor at a small liberal arts school, or even a public university.
Yeah.
Because I'm reading the books anyway. I might as well talk about them.
Exactly. What was the happiest moment of your life?
Remind me after this, I'll tell you my spin on the song of Roland, the great song of war.
Okay.
One summer I read all of the national famous books, so Canterbury Tales, El Cid, for Portugal, Don Quixote, Dante, and for France I read Chanson de Roland, the song of Roland. And boy, do I tell a good story about that one. I'll do it later if we have time.
Okay. Tell me again the happiest moment. You said the saddest was when Charles died.
Uh-huh. Baby Chuck, yeah.
Why was that so sad?
Because he was up skiing with the family. I had just come home from a movie with Kristen and Brennan. My brother Gordon called me on the telephone. He's crying, and he said my little nephew died. And I just dropped because I'd just seen him 2 or 3 days before. And I felt bad about it because he had gotten a dinosaur, a plastic dinosaur, for Christmas, and was having trouble working it. And he asked me to help put the batteries in, and I was doing something else and didn't do it. And I just, really tough. I have a lot of good memories about him, like one time he threw up in the pool in our backyard. So yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah, so Aunt Denise sent him in, and so we're sitting there watching a ball game. And he says, "Why am I in here, Uncle Barkley?" I said, "Well, because you're known as a puker."
Yeah, because he was staying at Mom's, and I had to put him in bed, and like he would throw up, and then he'd feel good, and I'd make him stay in bed anyway, and he was something else.
He had another rule, too. If he's going to play pool with his older cousins, he couldn't take orange soda down there. But what is the first thing he did? He went down with orange soda and spilled it all over the felt.
Yeah.
But that's pure little baby Chuck.
That was little Charles. That was sad. Sad for David Denise.
I know.
That's what hurts me the most.
Yeah.
It's just.
I remember the story. I wasn't there about the coffin being put on the airplane and them looking out the window and seeing their son there.
Saddest thing.
I know.
I can't. Even imagine how they recovered from that. They just learned to adapt.
Even at the funeral, I remember that. You know, that was terrible, turning my back and walking away when it was over.
I mean, you know, Denise and I, every time I see her, I talk to her about Charles. I think she likes to talk about him.
Yeah.
And then we just talk about it, but we both cry every time. Yeah. Let's see. Who was the most important person in your life?
Probably Dad, Grandpa, or Mom, I would think. Grandpa was the best grandpa.
Yeah.
A great guy.
What was so great about him?
I'm going to tell you, it was always fun being with him. He got me that job when I was first year of college up in Nebraska working on the Fizz Ranch. By the way, Gordon and I looked it up. It was 150,000 acres.
Wow.
That is huge. But the one I remember the most, and it just reminded me of family, Grandpa used to take me home for lunch, and Grandma would always make minute steaks.
Take you home from school?
No, from work.
Oh, from work.
In the summer, I worked at Clinic Masters, and he did, too.
Okay.
His job was counting the money.
Yeah.
Boy, he would chortle. But he would take me home for lunch. I said, "I only have an hour." He'd go, "Don't worry." And then after lunch, he wants a nap. So I said, "I only have an hour." So we come back, I'm 45 minutes late. And I said, "Oh, man, my dad and Uncle Herman," he says, "let me handle it." And he walks into the door. I mean, in my dad's office, and Uncle Herman's in there. And all of a sudden, I hear them say, "Hi, Dad." And to hear my dad and Uncle Herman call him Dad. And he said, "Hi, boys." And the door closed. I never heard anything about it. But that little interaction, both of them saying, "Hi, Dad." And Uncle and Grandpa going, "Hi, boys."
Because you never thought of the fact Grandpa was a dad.
Yes, but to hear them say it. Because they were, like, to me, they were way up there. And for them to go, "Grandpa, Dad," and boy, they loved their dad.
Yeah, they did. Dad really loved his dad.
Yeah, so did Uncle Herman, man. It was great.
He must have been a really special. I think, you know, there's like little patriarch or little people in the family that are shining stars.
Yeah, Grandpa was that.
I think Grandpa was that.
Yep. And Diana and I talk about him all the time.
Yeah. You know, he died when I was in third or fourth grade. So I didn't know him like you knew him.
Yeah.
You know, so I spent a lot of time with Grandma, more so probably. Who has been the biggest influence on your life, and what lessons did that person teach you?
Probably the same three people. Then Grandpa would always talk about the family. It's always the family. You love one another. And the Bible verse, take care. When little children love one another. He would, I think that might have been his last words I heard. I don't know if that's true or not. And then Dad, just the working and the entrepreneurial spirit. Money doesn't own you. You own the money. And then Mom, with her tenacious ability to raise a family and work her tail to the bone. With all that stuff she would do, it's amazing when I look back.
And she, you know what?
She's
good-natured about it. She enjoyed it.
Mom was really fun. Dad, maybe not so much.
Yeah.
But Dad and Grandpa were fun, but Mom laughed easy. She liked a good joke, you know?
Yeah. She was easy to be around.
Were you there the time at which we made an oath we would not speak English or any words? We would just whistle. And so past the salt came out as... and then the person handed it would go... Here it is, and I would go. were you there for that?
No.
Pass the salt, please.
It's been said that after they pass away, the most important people in our lives live within us. Is there anyone in your past that lives within you?
Probably Grandpa the most.
Yeah, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. You're really close to him.
Yep. Yeah.
What are the most important lessons you've learned in life?
Oh, I think. I think about this one a lot, too. It used to be when I was younger, I would think about God's mighty works and how the world, they're all so small and he owns it all and made it all. But as I get older, I think the smaller things are the big blessings.
Like?
Well, family and children, but sitting out in my back porch after a nice rain and smelling it.
I love the smell of it. Especially in Colorado.
Or watching the snow fall quietly and I put on a sweater and go out with a cup of coffee and watch it. Or just sit in the evening in the dark and listen to music, just simple things. The voice of my wife talking to my son in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Those to me are a big deal.
Mm-hmm. What is your earliest memory?
I heard you ask that of Gordon. I think it's about me and my dog, Emil.
Oh, when you went off?
No. We were great friends before that even.
What kind of dog was Emil?
It's a wiener dog.
Yeah.
And it's a standard, man. He's like a 25, 30 pounder.
Is that where you got your love of dogs? You love dogs?
It may be. He was named after Uncle Emil. But
I'm sure you made Uncle Emil proud.
1916 North Weber, the house next to us, had a chicken coop. And I did stuff. I would like let the
you
dog...
You let him into the chicken coop, I heard.
I did. I dropped him off the top of the coop.
And then Emil got in trouble.
Yeah, he did. He did. He went to
hell. Did you ever admit it?
Years later.
Poor Emil. Are there any words of wisdom you'd like to pass along to me or Brennan or Kristen or anybody?
Never forget family. That's it. Never, ever, ever. You know, people say, I hear them say all the time, boy, my brother's an idiot or my sister. I'm not going to talk to him anymore. I have never, ever heard that from my family or anybody in my family. Ever.
You know, it's funny.
You hear that too, do you not?
Yeah, and Mom and I have talked about that, about how... You know, she had her brothers were very difficult.
Oh, that's
her nephew.
That's gilding
Logan,
the lily.
Was
yep.
But you know what? She always had compassion and love for those people.
Right.
Even though they annoyed her.
Right.
So okay. What was the proudest moment of your life?
Oh, let me see. I don't know if I've really had moments where I felt proud about stuff. I felt happy. I don't know about proud.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think I can think of one. How would you like to be remembered?
Me as a good dad and a good brother and a good uncle and a good nephew.
You'll be a good brother to me?
Yeah.
Do you have any regrets?
Oh, let me see. No, I don't think I would change anything. Ideally, I've often thought I have two things that I wanted to be. Maybe the English professor. Or an officer on a U.S. naval vessel, a captain.
Yeah.
Because they just thought that would be fun.
You probably could have done that if you chose that when you came out of college, you know.
But I don't regret that. It's just something I thought it would be if you get more than one go-round.
What does your future hold?
Mine? Well, I'll probably work till I drop because I got...
Well, that sounds appealing.
Well, that's what I do every day. I just get up and I go to work and then I go home and see Diane and we have dinner and... Stuff like that. I don't know what else I would do if I didn't work, Shirley.
Yeah.
I might work less hours, maybe show up at 9 instead of 7:45.
Yeah. Let's see. How did you feel when you saw Brennan for the first time?
Well, Mom, I didn't go into the room because I just can't handle the thrashing and stuff.
Yeah.
But Mom grabbed him and held him above her head and I don't know why the doctors let her out and went down the hallways holding him up like this.
Aww. How has being a parent changed you?
I don't think being a parent has changed me. Being a grandparent has changed me. I'm a much better parent as a grandparent than I was as a mother and father. And it's not that thing, oh, because they go home. It's not.
No.
I'm more patient. I'm kinder. I'm willing to sit down with a 5-year-old girl and play dolls and do voices or the same thing with Audrey. I'm so much better.
But do you think that's because Brennan grew up out in Maryland?
I don't.
Okay.
No.
Because you know what I'm saying, you learn to be that way.
I'm better with Audrey.
In the trenches.
Yeah.
With your children, you know.
Well, no, because it's heated, but Mackie and Audrey can stay, and I have, seems like, all the patience in the world to do stuff I don't really want to do, you know?
Yeah. What are your dreams for your children?
I just like them to be happy and be self-supporting.
Let's see.
I would like somebody to take me on a trip sometime.
Yeah. Maybe they will. Have they bought you dinner?
Yes, once, I think.
That's the turning point. The two turning points are when they buy you dinner and then when they make travel reservations for you because you're not competent enough.
Oh, Diane already does that for me. She puts little stickers on me. Mm-hmm. Like, even when I go to out of town for court, you know what a gur animal is?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she puts them on
they
my
match.
Clothes. Yeah. Yeah. So if a shirt has a gur animal and the pants.
Like the tiger with the tiger.
Yeah, then I can wear
tiger
that.
Tiger pants and
yeah.
tiger shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But that's how I am. I roll with. I need help.
You're not a detail guy, huh?
I am when I want to be. I'm a detail guy.
Yeah. Well, it's like you have a. It's like you have a.
Well, court is a
butler. Yeah. You have a butler or something.
Well, I follow directions.
Yeah.
But in court, I'm a very detailed guy.
Yeah. Tell me about your religious beliefs. What is your religion?
Christian.
Okay. And can you tell me anything particular about your religious beliefs?
Well, I think the creed kind of sums it up, don't you?
Okay,
The apostles and the Nicene.
Have you experienced any miracles?
I just tell you those little ones that move me, which are the smell of the wind after the rain. To me, that's a miracle.
Like nature in general, or moments in nature?
I'm moved by that.
Yeah.
The sound of the ocean.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, William James once said you need three things to hypnotize: sound, motion, and color. Now, the mountains have two of those, mm-hmm. which is sound and color, but the ocean has the motion. I just thought of that. But nonetheless, that's why it's hypnotic just to watch it roll in. Dad and I used to go down to Corona del Mar, and there was a park bench overlooking this cliff, and we would just sit there for like an hour and a half and not say a word. And watch the ocean roll in is great.
I feel that way about the mountains, but you know this solar eclipse that we had?
Uh-huh.
We had a total eclipse in Kansas City.
Did you see the stars? It was a total flop here. It looked like
we had 100% coverage.
So you could see the stars?
It was dark, but we only had it where I was. The total coverage was 22 seconds. If I would have gone north a half hour, it would have been 20 minutes.
Could you see the stars?
I was scared. I just looked like this because I was so frightened I was going to burn my retinas out.
Oh.
But I guess it did get completely dark, and it was fabulous, and it just reminds you of, like, the grandeur and of the universe.
Right.
And,
but could you see the stars?
I was just so scared about my eyes.
Well, we went out here. The whole office went out to watch it, and we had the countdown. And basically, unless you're right in it, mm-hmm. it was like the afternoon at 5:30. So what?
No, it was like 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome, but, and it got cool, so cool, you know. Cold.
Really?
Yeah, it was neat.
You're very dramatic.
We went out on a boat, it was neat. Do you believe in God?
Absolutely.
Do you believe in the afterlife?
Yes.
So, I know I just interviewed Gordon about our ethnic background. Mom is Protestant,
Scottish, Protestant, Irish,
Northern
English,
European,
yeah.
Dad, German.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear any stories from Mom, Grandma Grace, about her heritage, her relatives?
No, well, I know that Mom used to like to tend, it seemed to me, tend to grave sites through the South where her relatives were a lot of Confederate stuff. Not that she was totally into that, but she had an interest in it. I never heard Grandma Grace talk about it. I did see my great-grandma Bubba down in Charles, I think, Louisiana. Didn't have air conditioning, had a screen porch.
You visited Bubba in Lake Charles.
I think so, yeah. Oh, yes.
Because she lived with Grandma Grace when Mom grew up. Bubba.
Right. But I went to Louisiana. I remember it was, and Grandma Grace wasn't there.
That's interesting.
I think I did.
Because Bubba, after her husband died, I don't know how long after that, she did. Mom grew up with Bubba and Grace in the house.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right,
but maybe you went down. I mean, Bubba's family was from there, so yeah. She may have been visiting someone.
I'm pretty sure I went down there to see her. What was the question? I can't remember.
We're just talking about family heritage, Bubba. What do you remember about Bubba? What type of personality?
She had white hair and seemed short and round. Because I was really young. Seemed like it.
Did she talk with a southern accent?
She had a bird or a picture of a bird, and I was afraid that I was going to either fall on the picture or kill the bird. I'm not sure what. I don't remember. She was short with white hair and looked round to me.
Do you just remember that one time with her?
Yeah. Yeah, it was only that one time.
Yeah. Did you go down and visit Grace in the summers?
I don't think I ever did. All my brothers did. You may have. I never did that.
Yeah. You did the grandpa thing.
Yeah,
that's where you go.
And as I got older, because I played baseball all the time, I didn't visit so much. I was going to tell you about the background, though. I took one of those swab tests for the National Geographic.
So did I.
Well, heavy German and English, you know, and then it kind of goes to Eastern Europe and then back to Africa. But we were teasing Mom that hers went to England and directly to Africa. So all through Black History Month, we sent her cards like, "You sure can jump."
Well, you know, after you told me that, I told Chuck, you know, Barclay said we have some African heritage, and I, in my mind, was thinking, well, I mean, we've been in the South since the 1700s, 1600s.
Oh, yeah, sure.
We did own plantations, although that would be a weird, if you're Black and you have Northern European, that makes sense.
Well, everybody in Virginia was Northern European. They weren't from Italy.
No, but what I'm saying is it would be unusual for a white person to have a child with a Black person, unless it's the white man. Anyway.
Well, no, I think if you go down four generations and then they get whiter and whiter,
well,
that nobody knows.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I just did it. And so Chuck and I were going around telling everybody we're Black. We're thrilled about it. Like, we're like totally into it. Like, I'm Black. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Chuck and I have been on this for a long time.
Well, you know,
I just did mine. Zero.
You're
African American. Zero.
Mom had a ton.
I'm super mad about it. I said Barclay was the one. And now, so I called Chuck. I go, guess what? We're not Black. And he's like, well, I'm telling people we're Black anyway.
When the Ferguson riots were on, remember that in St. Louis? And I was sitting in the office here looking out the window, and the kids from CC were going by, you know, hands up, don't shoot.
Yeah.
And I was telling Gordon, I wish I had the courage to go down and yell, pants up, don't shoot. But I didn't.
Gordon and I were talking about family traditions.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the ones is eating black-eyed peas
on New Year's.
That's from Mom's side. It's good luck. It's not New Year's. It's New Year's Day.
Yep, that's right.
And another was, happy may your birthday be kept from
sin and sorrow free. May you work and laugh and pray and live for Jesus every day. We still do that one at my house.
So Grandma and Grandpa, that's from their side. Do you think that's something they invented, or do you think that was something handed down?
I don't know, but I'll tell you another one you didn't mention.
What?
And that is, Mom had the prayer cards, and the prayer was this.
Yeah.
The eyes of all wait upon thee, O Lord, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand, and fillest all things living with plenteousness. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and then another amen. Diane has those cards. She had them lacquered. They still have gravy on them.
I know. I want to get them copied because I'd like a copy. And we'd read that responsively.
Yes. Yeah, I don't remember the responsive part. But the head of the
table... No, that was. We'd go back and forth.
Yeah, right. Yes, I do, but I don't remember who said what.
Mm-hmm.
But when Dad was alive, Dad would read it. When I was then the oldest, I would read it.
Yeah.
And at my house now, I read it.
I need to talk to Diane about getting a copy of that.
Yeah, that's a great prayer, I think. The eyes of all wait upon thee, O Lord.
Gordon and I also said that we believe that opening Christmas presents on Christmas Eve from each other, and then Santa would come.
Yeah, I think Grandpa Heuser did that, and I think that's a German thing.
Yeah, Christmas Eve is a big
deal. Yes, right. Remember the time Dad got us all waterproof watches in this little tube filled with water, and they were all sloggy and wouldn't work? Yep, you're going to love that waterproof watch.
What was your relationship to, we've talked about Grandpa, very close, influential. What about Grandma Heuser?
Oh, I like Grandma. She was, I don't even know how to say her personality. She wasn't flat. She had a good affect. She took care of the grandchildren. She laughed okay, but I wasn't drawn to her. She had some cool things. She taught me how to play pit and rook. When I was a little kid, I'd go over. She had this cigar tin full of little plastic dogs, and that's where I learned. I learned like
all the breeds.
Yeah, I learned like 100 breeds of dogs.
I remember
by playing with those. Yeah.
Do you remember their poodle, their ceramic poodle, Frisky?
That was a real dog, Frisky, not just ceramic.
I know they had Frisky, which was a
terrier,
a fox terrier, I think. But I have the ceramic one. I asked Grandma and Grandpa, and they said its name was Frisky, and now I have that. So. What was your relationship to Grandma Grace?
Okay. Mm-hmm. I thought she was tough on Mom. She had that bell at the house when she was living with Mom, and she'd ring it.
Oh, shit.
And she made great breakfasts. I'll give her that, and a great cherry pie.
What do you mean she was tough on Mom? I thought she
rang the bell when she was...
Oh, when she was sick. This was when she was sick. I
really didn't know her that well.
Yeah.
She taught me how to play bridge, though.
Yeah.
Remember that? She had that plastic tablecloth.
Yeah. Yep.
She was so eager to play bridge, she would play with seven-year-olds. That's sick.
Well, you knew she was a flapper.
I kind of thought she might be a flapper. I saw a picture of her once from, like, some magazine, and she was beautiful.
You know who Mom's she was show. Named after?
Who?
There's a book. It's a religious book. And Grace Truman is the heroine of the book.
Oh, I didn't know
so
that.
So that's who she's named after.
I didn't know that.
Mom told me her parents were probably horrified that their daughter, that they so carefully protected and brought up, ended up being a flapper and marrying Robert McKenzie. Right.
But she also was a school teacher.
Yeah,
she was. And a college graduate back when that was a rarity.
Yeah, no, she went to college. All her brothers went to...
Baylor University is where she went. That's a big-time school.
Yeah, all four of them went.
We're talking 1920, mm-hmm. a woman in... Bug Tussle, Texas, going to Baylor.
Mm-hmm. What was your relationship to Uncle Herman?
Great. Great guy. Best uncle in the world. He brought honor to the name uncle.
And Aunt Dorothy. How about Aunt Dorothy?
I liked her a lot.
Yeah.
Tough, but fair, she said. She could cook. She laughed easy. I liked her. I liked both those guys.
Yeah. And I know you're really close to Mary.
Absolutely. I count her as a sister.
Yeah. And so you and Mary were the same age, went mm-hmm. to college kind of together for a little bit. And mm-hmm. Do you think Mary's more like her mom or her dad?
Her dad.
Yeah. She looks like her dad.
Boy, Uncle Herman was great.
Yeah.
He'd say stuff like, I hardly ever play miniature golf anymore, but I'll play a nickel a hole.
Oh, yeah.
And as we walk up, the guy says, your usual colored ball, Mr. Heuser?
Uncle Herman was good, yeah. What about... Did you know Mom's brothers at all? I mean, I know you.
Yeah, I did. I didn't really care for him.
Tell me about Uncle Logan.
I thought Uncle Logan was ungrateful. I thought he was kind of a wretch at heart.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was mean to Mom and Dad and to the kids, his kids and his nephews. Mm-hmm. I didn't see much in him. I didn't like him.
Yeah. What about, did you meet Uncle Weaver?
You know, I get mixed up with Manly and Weaver. One of them, I guess, I was neutral on, but I can't remember. And that's as good as I ever got.
Well, I'll tell you, they were, like, kind of the same.
Were they?
And I asked Mom about it, and she said she felt mostly disappointed that she didn't have anybody she could lean on.
Right.
She was the stable one in the family, and that she felt like her brothers ended up the way they were because they didn't have a good role model in their life.
I don't know if I buy that or not.
Yeah, I don't know either.
A lot of people grow up without a dad, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but
three for three, though. Wow.
But they were both, they both drank too much. They both were horrible husbands.
Uncle Logan was a Golden Gloves boxer. Did you know that?
Yeah.
I kept out of his, I knew how long his arms were.
I think they were, the only thing I can say is I think they were intelligent.
Yeah.
But they were...
mean.
Mostly I would say that because of the way they treated their own family. Mm. Not me. Uncle Logan was nice to me.
He wasn't nice to me.
Really?
You know, one time at a clinic master's thing,
yeah.
and he was talking to a group of doctors and he told me to shut up My own dad would never do that, you know.
He talked to you like that?
Yeah.
He never talked to me like that, but I can tell you he was ungrateful. And
I know, yeah, the stuff where he had his little office here and he tried to scoop into dad's business.
Yeah, tried to I saw a letter he like kind of to threaten dad, like dad had cheated him out of anything, which is so ridiculous, right. You know. That must have been hard for mom.
Well, don't you remember when Grandma Grace wanted to live in her house in Colbin? And mom said, I'll pay for everything. And when you die,
yeah.
We'll sell the house and pay me back.
Yeah.
And then they were mad when the house was sold and mom got paid back tens of thousands of dollars. And they said, well, you're stealing our inheritance. Well, mom supported her in her house.
Yeah, mom where just she used wanted, her paid the bills.
Yeah, like, where she lived.
Yeah. I know, and that too.
Yeah.
And on top of that, there were a lot of things in Grandma Grace's house, just little things that I'd asked mom about, like where did all that, she had some coins that I used to look at over and over and over, and she said, oh, my brothers went in there and helped themselves, all kinds of stuff. I felt sorry that mom didn't have a family she could rely on, but she made a family she could rely on.
Right.
What about dad? Tell me about dad. What kind of relationship did you have with dad?
Kind of a mentor. I mean, he was a good dad. More of a mentor than somebody like Grandpa who felt like a dad. But my memories of him, first of all, instilling the entrepreneurial spirit. I don't know how he did it, but he hammered that all the time. When I was a little kid, he was real playful, though. I'd get in my wagon, and he would run like a bat out of hell, and I would hang on, taught me how to throw rocks, taught me how to ride a bicycle. You know, I like that kind of stuff.
Was it mom or dad that told you they were going to get a divorce?
They called up together. I was on the telephone. I was over at Nancy Bowie's house. I wasn't married to her at the time. Mm-hmm. And they were both on. And I think it was dad, but mom was on the line. She said, I'm here too, you know.
How'd you feel about that?
It wasn't like it was an emotional blow or anything.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I didn't feel bad about it. I was somewhat surprised about the way it was delivered. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't crushed. Were you?
Yeah, mom told me. I just cried. I was super sad. I think Gordon was super sad.
Oh. Well, maybe I was just older. I don't know.
Yeah, but could maybe.
Go ahead.
I was going to say maybe, like, I think you maybe were expecting it.
No, not really. I just wasn't into it that much, I guess. You know, Dad was gone a lot traveling.
Yeah.
You know, when he was working.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know why. It's funny how that didn't seem to bother you, but it bothers. I don't know how Chuck and David feel about it. Maybe not as much as Gordon and I. Like, Gordon and I both, maybe, I don't anymore because I talked to Dad about it a lot before he died.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell him, and we had multiple discussions about it.
Right.
I don't think Gordon got a chance to do that. And I think he'd even admit that he harbors some anger and resentment about it. But you don't feel that way?
No.
Not at all?
Nope.
Okay, so after Dad.
Wait, would you write Selfish Bastard? No. Is that what you just wrote?
No, I think it's interesting that I always got the impression that didn't really bother you that much.
Yeah, it didn't.
So how do you feel your relationship was with Dad as he got older?
Good. You know, Diane never understands I can talk to you or any of my brothers, and all of a sudden, I've got to go now, and just hang up.
Yeah.
There's none, and I got that from Dad, but she says, you didn't say goodbye, and I said, that's just how we do it.
Yeah,
I'm done talking.
It's over.
It's over. Bye.
Not going to linger on this.
And that's how Dad was. I wanted him to come out more, but I don't think Barbara would let him because we would wanted to go take him to baseball games or go up to Glenwood Springs.
Yeah.
But I didn't do that. But I would talk to him, but it was always short because when it's over,
it's over.
It's over.
How'd you feel when Dad died?
I was sad, but I knew it wasn't due. I was in Las Vegas. I think he died a day or two before his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the call there. I was with a bunch of my friends and nothing I could do.
Yeah.
So I finished that and then we went out to Independence. Yeah.
How'd you feel when mom died?
Oh, that was hard. I remember what happened. You know, little Danny Heuser was a trooper. He was there all the time with mom. I mean, all the time. And he'd been there late that night and I got a call from Chuck or Gordon. Anyway, we all went down there and saw mom. And then the coroner, is it the coroner or the mortician comes? Anyway, they put her in a black bag and left her face open so we could kiss her on the head. Mm-hmm. And then they zipped the top up and and took her out. I have a funny story down there, though. The lady across the hall from Mom was from Oklahoma, and Mom was, she lost her filters as she got older. She would say stuff like, "We should have taken that little state when we had a chance."
You know, it's funny. I would always ask Mom about Texas, because, you know, Texans love Texas.
Right.
I don't think Mom felt that way at all about Texas.
Oh, I don't know about that. She liked the Alamo. She loved the stars at night are big and bright.
Well, she did like the song, but I'm telling you, I think she really thought of herself as a Coloradan.
She may have.
Not like some Texans that are really attached.
Well, she wasn't joking about taking Oklahoma. It just pissed her off that a little nowhere thing took out what's rightfully ours.
I forgot to ask Gordon about this.
Do you remember when we all went down on maybe the last trip and Mom went down to Coleman and saw the family?
Yeah, that was fun.
But when we crossed the state line, we'd stop the car and all get out on the side of the highway and do a funny dance and sing songs.
Yeah. I'm glad we did that.
That was fun. Mom went to the perpetual care. Anyway, she went with her little grass clippers. And as she was trimming the grass, she's muttering about how this perpetual care is a ripoff.
Perpetual schmetzel.
You know, at that last thing in that graveyard, right where you come in where Grandma Grace is buried, there's a little grave of a boy who died in 1803. Now I'm thinking, what the heck is that family doing in West Texas in 1803? That's before Lewis and Clark. How bad was their life back east? Isn't that interesting?
Most people who moved to Texas, I mean, they were there to make money for sure.
Well, where are you making money in Coleman in 1803?
I don't know. Okay, question on this. I forgot to ask Gordon about this. Did you ever talk to Mom about her dad?
No, I was always kind of afraid to ask her. I know that when she heard he died, she cried. I knew that. And she said he was in Tennessee, right, when he died?
Kentucky, in a veterans hospital of something.
Never really talked to her about it, and I didn't think that she was interested in talking about it.
I know, I felt like it was kind of a subject we weren't going to talk about. I wish I would have, though, maybe more.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I still don't think I would. I just think she didn't want to, and I really didn't care.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he was very nice to her.
Well, you know, she said he wasn't a mean man or anything, but I mean, and he was nice to her. She had good memories of him.
Right.
And it's just that as she got older and he was drinking and couldn't hold a job.
Right.
You know, he was the Charlie-go-lucky guy buying drinks for everyone in the house.
Oh, yeah, right.
But can't pay his electrical bills. And she was embarrassed and ashamed that she didn't have running water sometimes or electricity because her father didn't pay them.
Gotcha, yeah.
But he didn't come to her wedding. He always had an excuse.
Right.
He didn't come to her wedding, never visited her. He always was busy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
How am I doing so far?
You're passing. Do you remember Dad or Grandpa or anybody talking about our ancestors, their father? Did Grandpa ever say anything about his father?
Yeah.
What?
I think Grandpa's name, great-grandpa, mine, was Adolf, right?
I don't know. I didn't look it up.
That's what I heard. But I saw the family Bible, and he had two twins. Grandpa lived, the other twin died.
Mm-hmm.
And underneath the name of the twin that died, they wrote that Bible verse, "This was my beloved son with whom I was well," in the past tense, well pleased. I thought great-grandpa Adolf, if I had the name right, got his arm shot off fighting for the Kaiser and then got a job as a one-armed janitor in Pittsburgh. Turned out he left the German army because of the mustache rule.
Yeah, and I have that.
Yeah.
It is written.
He says, "What kind of army is this when a man can't wear a mustache?" But then, you know, he moved to Pittsburgh, and here's the part I like. You know, sometimes Grandpa would say he had to get a bucket of beer for his dad and carry it home in a bucket.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But the other one is this. They had a sign on the wall in the church where great-grandpa Adolf worked, and it was an essay contest, and whoever won, the church was going to send them to seminary. Mm-hmm. Well, they weren't members of that church. I don't know if they were Lutheran or Catholic. Probably Protestant, I would think. Lutheran.
They were Lutheran.
But great-grandpa said, "Well, can my son try out?"
Mm-hmm.
And they said, "Yes, he can." And he won, and they sent him to seminary.
Yeah.
And then Grandpa had a story where his first parish, he had a horse and buggy, and he's driving over to lunch after church, and Grandma's with him, and the little kid's walking. He says, "You need a ride, son?" And the kid said, "Yeah, gotta get a ride. Preacher's coming over. You know preachers, they're hogs on chicken." And then the time Grandpa, one of his first jobs at that at that church was he took the spittoons out at the end of each pew.
I have those. Do you have a copy of all the little stories about that?
No, I don't, I don't have that one.
Grandma typed copies, and that's in there.
About taking the spittoons out. Good idea.
Grandpa's Adolf, I think when he's in Pittsburgh, he was a coal miner, and he got black lung.
Oh, is that right?
And that's why he was working
as a janitor.
As a janitor. And, yeah, it was something, a contest or a paper or something.
Essay, I thought it was.
And he's like, I don't care if it's Presbyterian, my son
right.
do this.
I like that phrase, can my son try out?
Did you hear about Emil hurting his eye, Grandpa's brother?
No, I just know the dog was named after him.
No, he was blind in one eye because some molten lead he worked.
Was he in a steel factory?
I guess it hurt his eye.
By the way, I found out after years it was Emil, not Emil. So I thought Emil was spelled A-I-M-E-L. Emil.
I told you Grandpa Adolf and his wife were both previously married and had children.
Mm-hmm, right.
And then I told you the story about how Grandpa's sister had committed suicide.
Yes,
Elizabeth.
Yes, you did.
Emil married a woman named Elizabeth, and I think Edwin might have been one of the, or I got to look it back up, was the other brother in that group.
I can't remember.
Did Grandma ever tell you anything about her childhood?
No, she worked in Chicago as a telephone operator, I
understand. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and the old kind where you plugged it in, mm-hmm. you know, one ringy dingy.
Yeah.
And I don't know where they met. I know that Grandma only drove a car once and had a wreck and never drove again.
That's right.
Yeah.
They met...
She used to like to go to Newstetter's downtown here because
it
was a fancy restaurant up
fancy.
Top. And she was in a bowling league up in Rushville, Nebraska called, and their name was the Gutter Cats. And Grandpa
she loved
was...
To bowl and they
oh,
were,
she
yeah.
loved. And Grandpa's in a men's league and he was small, but he could throw a powerful ball. In Rushville... The bowling alley was called the Food Bowl because they had a glass thing and you could have a hamburger and watch league play.
Oh, gosh.
What a great little town.
Why do you think, like, Grandpa and Herman loved their dad so much?
He's just a great guy. Everything he did had the touch of goodness about it.
Yeah.
He did. Everything he did. Whether it was taking Frisky out, he would read me books. Bamba the Jungle Boy. And I remember lying on the floor and he would read it in a real good voice. He was kind of like a cooler Tarzan, but he was like 9 years old and he lived in the jungle. You ever read those?
Bamba the Jungle Boy. I got the impression, I asked Dad about this, like his relationship with his mother. He said he loved his mother. Yeah. But do you think it was a cool relationship? I mean, Dad, we used to pick Grandma up a couple days a week and... What did you think? Do you know anything about that relationship?
No, we always treated it with respect
maybe
and love.
Maybe it's just that he loved his father so much. He
could
was so
be.
Close to his father,
you know,
nothing
guy,
could compare, maybe.
Well, you know, guys were tight, and I know that Dad got Grandpa that job, I thought, partially, so we didn't have to be home all day.
Yeah.
But he loved to come down to Clinic Masters and see everybody and open the mail and count the checks and see his grandchildren.
Be part of it. I got the impression, I asked Mom about this once, about Grandma
I've got to go pretty soon to get the car home.
We'll
go
ahead. Okay. Grandpa and Grandma's relationship. Mom felt like they had a good marriage. She was dependent on him in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like she wasn't a very independent person. But also she said, you know, they kind of they'd bicker quite a bit.
Absolutely. I heard him on the phone one time. He was down at Clinic Masters and he didn't want to come home for lunch. He was going to go out with the boys, Gordon, Uncle Herman, and Dad, across the street to the Emporium, which was a new restaurant where you could make your own sandwich.
Yeah.
And get a load of this, the meat was unsupervised, so nobody used bread. It would be seriously
all
like
meat,
make your own sandwich. Place went bankrupt after 2 months. You know?
Uncle Donald, Uncle Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
So I was little when all of the debacle with them went down or whatever. Mm-hmm. Tell me what you can say about Uncle Donald, and then we'll talk about Uncle Bruce.
Could you turn it off just for a minute? I got to tell some.
Uncle Donald, what's your first memory of Uncle Donald?
Oh, buying me stuff at Peck's Fun Fair.
Is that in Colorado Springs?
Yeah, it was a toy store. And he said, pick whatever you want.
Was he the fun uncle who always drank too much at every holiday? Like everybody has
He
one.
Was fun when he was younger. He was got weird when he got older.
Yeah.
You know, Uncle Herman was the fun uncle.
Yeah, Uncle Herman you could count on. Nothing was going to disrupt your day.
Yeah, Uncle Don was pretty cool. But as he got older, I didn't see him too much.
Well, he was over in the Philippines where he lived.
Yeah. I have the one story where... He was at Davis Air Force Base, and I'm driving home to see Dad. Law school's out, And he says, you got to pick Uncle Don up. So I pick him up. Every liquor store he wants to stop, but I resist. And then we get to Reno. And he says, just let me go in for a minute. And he got me a room. Bad sign. He knew I was angry because every hour room service would deliver a Cobb salad to me. There must have been six of them sitting there. I'd call Dad, I'm leaving. You can't leave my brother. Anyway, I got him back in the car. And we only stopped. I wouldn't let him out of the car, not even to pee. We drove all the way from Reno to Colorado Springs. We didn't stop at Stuckey's or anything. It was horrible. Cobb salad.
Do you think Uncle Donald was gay?
Yeah, I do.
I mean,
but I never saw him act like it, just that he had the houseboy.
Yeah, he hung around Ben. And he lived with Bong.
Well, that's the houseboy.
Yeah, for a long time.
Right.
But there's no confirmation.
But I never saw him at gay clubs or holding hands or anything.
Did you ever see him date anybody?
Nope.
A woman?
And I was in law school in San Francisco. He'd come down.
Yeah.
We'd go to the ball game and have some of his pals. None of them seemed gay. Uncle Bruce's friends were flamers.
Well, I was going to ask you about Uncle Bruce. What's your first memory of Uncle Bruce?
Oh, he lived in the 1916 North Weber. And he was going to Colorado College, I think, at the time. And he had a comic.
He seemed kind of old to be going to college.
Well, no. He was only, how old was he? Dad was born in 1927.
Okay.
Anyway, maybe he was late teens, early 20s, but he had a lot of comic books in his room. And I was allowed to go down there and read them. I didn't know him much enough. The next thing I remember about him is maybe he was late 20s, and he came with all these guys who had dyed their hair bright yellow with streaks of brown in them.
Oh.
And he was weird. And that's, I was like,
Was he feminine?
He seemed gay to me.
How do you think, did you ever get an ask Dad or any impression about how
Dad thought he was
Grandma
gay? No.
Felt about that?
No, Grandma probably would deny it. Grandpa was a realist.
Grandpa probably protected Grandma from that.
Yeah.
He may have known, but just...
Yeah, that never
and
came
lastly,
up.
When I asked Dad about it, I felt that he felt embarrassed about it, and he would not say that either of them were gay.
Oh.
I asked Dad about that.
Oh, I thought Dad implied that everybody, maybe it's because of Mary... that thought everybody knew Don was gay because of Bong, you know, the houseboy. I never thought Dad was embarrassed about it, just not something we talked about very much.
Well, we wouldn't talk.
Remember when Uncle Bruce died, though? I don't even know where he's buried, but Uncle Herman and Dad took care of everything, never talked about it, and that's so typical. Both of them were the souls of discretion, were they not, Sarah Lee?
Yeah, they took care of their brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Dad loved his brothers.
Right.
They were difficult. They took advantage of him
and Herman.
They never paid a loan back.
I know.
It's funny, Mom had two brothers like that.
Yeah.
Dad had two brothers like that. But Dad had one brother
that wasn't like that. That's right.
So, okay, well, we'll just have to finish another time because you have to go. But I really want to have a conversation about, like, Grandma, Grandpa, and, like, all of us around a table.
Yeah.
Because we'll remember things to add to that. So, okay, I might be interviewing you again.
I know.
Bye.